When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, I don't want to sound like a swooping vulture or something, but Todd Reardon's still here. Good morning to you. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Penguins. It comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. There's a general rule, a rule is too strong, but there's a general sense of courtesy that when an assistant coach is going to be fired, whether that's hockey, football, baseball, you name it, they learn their fate as soon as possible. The obvious reason is that that individual can then have as much time as possible to pursue as many openings as possible around their respective league before those openings close up. In other words, if you're going to fire me now, all right? Give me a chance. Now, when this came up with Kyle Dubas, who is the one who would make this call, by the way, last Friday, the general state of the coaching staff, he just said that there was going to be some time that has to go into it. It can't be much time. It just can't. Word gets out very, very, very quickly and not very kindly throughout the coaching community that your operation isn't one that does things right. Nobody wants that. It does not serve you well in the long run. So one of two things occurs here. One is that Reardon's going to get fired very soon, or he's not going to get fired at all. If it's the latter, you're not going to hear anything about it. Because what would the Penguins do? Put out a press release that says that a guy who's already under contract to coach next year is still going to be doing that? Remember that Reardon has a different role, a different title than most assistant coaches. He is an associate head coach on this team. The Penguins gave him that title and gave him more money a couple years back because they felt, given his experience, particularly in being a head coach in Washington, that he came with more value. Also irrelevant, Reardon was given credit by a lot of people, including a lot of players, for having straightened out some defensemen of significant repute, not least of whom is Chris Letang. Now, Tanger's not the type, you're going to have to trust me on this one, to give somebody else credit super lightly for what it is that he's done. But he's done it with Reardon. And he's done it with a lot of different defensemen. Now, he did not do it this year with Ryan Graves, but then you can't make something out of everything, right? Otherwise, you know, we'd all be driving Porsches or something. But the one claim to infamy, I guess you could call it, that Reardon's been tagged with is the obvious, the glaringly obvious, the painfully obvious, the power play. And, you know, this isn't an easy one to attach to anybody because, as I've been saying all along, you can go after the positional coach who's responsible for it and who's standing over there at the whiteboard whenever there's a timeout called and he can put everybody into certain motions and get at least a quick face-off play drawn up. But to think for a split second that he's running the power play is, wow, it's remarkably out of touch with what should be commonly known reality about this team for the past, 40 years? Really, that's what we're talking about here. 40 years where a coach has not run this franchise's power play. That's not me defending Reardon. That's not me advocating in one direction or the other. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have particularly strong sentiments on this subject. You guys will tend to know when I do or don't have those, and I don't on this one because it's a very, very, very tough read. But I have significant questions about the power play and how it was managed by whoever was managing it, chief among them. And this was something Dubas brought up himself, his press conference, which surprised me a little bit, but maybe it was a sign. Chief among them was the usage of the bumper, meaning the forward who's in the middle and who goes to the front of the net, but then bumps back out, meaning into the higher slot or even outright center point, just to give the point man a different option, a different look, and to try to pull out one of those two lower penalty killers. When that happened, things would open up for the Penguins down low, and they were able to do more collapsing, and they were able to look more like, you know, an NHL power play. And what I mean by collapsing, by the way, I don't mean to go hockey speak on you if you're new on the sport. Collapsing on the power play is actually a good thing. Doesn't sound like one, but it is. It means you're just getting closer and closer and closer to the net. I'm often using the Oilers as the prime example of this because they're the best at this, and they did it the other night in completely annihilating the Kings 7-4. They just get the puck and they keep doing things that allow them to get closer and closer and closer. It's like a Gordian knot on the goaltender until eventually they're setting themselves up for a tap-in, which is your dream scenario on the power play. It took the Penguins 4 months to do this. And even when they did it with Michael Bunting, who is somebody you'd much rather have in front of the net, but I'll respect that adjustment because Bunting happened to be very good at it, both with Pittsburgh and before that in Carolina and before that in Toronto. He's efficient in that role. He's also not the only person on the planet who could have handled it. To try to be true to the coaches, they attempted it early this season with Rickard Rakell, and Rakell really didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to go forward and backward, and all he would attempt is to just get a slingshot off toward the goaltender, and that's not really the answer either. You've got to be a bit more versatile. But then they went months without trying it again. All I'm saying here is, look, whatever it is that they're going to do with Reardon, they got to do it real soon. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Mac. It's a good one. He says, DK, hindsight is 20/20. But what would you have done last summer if you had to do it over again regarding the goaltending, Tristan Jarry, and his contract? I'm not a fan of Kyle Dubas. I was critical of the contract he gave out to Jarry as well. I wasn't. I'm sitting here right now telling you that. I have no problem telling you that. I've had a thing for Jarry for several years, and I mean a good thing. I've seen the talent level that he can show at times, and so has everyone else. I've seen the strange, possibly coincidental, but I don't think so, tendency that Jari's had to go into a rink against another really, really good goaltender, or I should just say a really, really, really good goaltender, and raise his level. He would go in against Andrei Vasilevsky, Connor Hellebuck, Sergei Bobrovsky when Bob's on top of his game, and he would get all stoked up for it. Not verbally, of course, but you could see that there was something extra to his game. But what is that? What kind of consistency is that? And, you know, you do reach a point, and I don't just mean if you're, you know, doing this for a living like I am, but anybody, where you kind of get tired of taking a stance that keeps coming back to haunt you. And that's all I've been getting from Jari for years now. I keep thinking, you know what? There's something there. There's something available to be unlocked. And I'm far from the only one who thinks that, because the Penguins do have people in their employ who know goaltending, who understand and appreciate what makes a good or even great goaltender. And they see those physical traits in him. They see he doesn't have great size, but he has pretty good size for a goaltender. They like that. Mike Sullivan has brought that one up a lot. He'll say, when I'm watching Tristan and he's playing well, he looks big to me from the bench. He looks big. They love, and you have to, his athleticism down low, his methods that he uses to take away the part of the net, but even more than the exercise itself, it's the quickness. I don't think anyone's ever been crazy about his glove or his blocker, but he's got athleticism there too. And then, yeah, and I think, you know, without putting words in your mouth here, Mac, that this is part of what you were asking here is, what would you have done in that scenario, meaning last summer, when the Penguins really didn't have other options in goal? And I did say at the time that if I'm Dubas, there's a lot of different things I would have done to go after anybody who would have been available, who would be in that elite class. And at the time, it seemed that Winnipeg and Hellebuck were at odds and that the Jets might make him available. That obviously turned out to not be the case. Kevin Cheveldayoff talked Hellebuck into sticking around because he convinced him, and correctly so, that the Jets were about to be really good. And that ended up not being an option. But that also wasn't the only goaltender on the planet. And I don't know that if Jari had gone onto the open market, and again, like you said, I'm borrowing your own word, this is classic hindsight, because this is not what I either thought or spoke at the time, but situations change and so do stances. I don't believe you'd have had a team anywhere go to Jari with anything close to what he ended up getting from Pittsburgh. And there are ways to achieve that. You basically let him go into free agency and you tell him, hey, if somebody offers you something spectacular, come back to us and at least give us a shot at it. At least give us a shot at topping it. That's how you do that. That's not what happened. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins. We're going to do another one of these tomorrow.